And now, dear Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful in this place of worship. We're here because we love you. There isn't one person in this assembly this morning who does not love you. I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts. Not one young person here seeing Catherine Kuhlman, not one. But please, we're so hungry. We're hungry for more. There's so much more. If only we knew how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have so much for each of us if we only knew how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Teach us today for Jesus' sake. Amen. I shall try very hard to stay within the time limit. I promise you, because I know that you have to get back to classes. And I'll do my best. But I want to talk to you just from my heart. Remember, I'm not bringing you a sermon this morning. Know that. And do not look upon me as a minister as I speak to you. You see, I can only give you my own personal experience. No one can give to anyone else any more than they've experienced themselves. Always remember that. And just in a very simple way, I'll give you my own personal experience regarding the Holy Spirit. My very first association with the Holy Spirit was in a little Methodist church in Concordia, Missouri. If only you could know from whence I've come. Concordia, I don't think, is on the map. It's so small. Not more than 1,200 population. Mama was Methodist. Papa was Baptist. Neither one worked too hard at it. And one Sunday morning, and it says, real to me, this was my very first contact with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't realize it. One Sunday morning, sitting with Mama in that little Methodist church, I don't think the church holds any more than 100 people. We were sitting there. It was time for the last song, and I was holding the old-fashioned Methodist hymnal. Whether anyone has ever been converted in that church before or since, I'll never know. But when the last song was being sung and I was holding that old-fashioned Methodist hymnal in my hand, I was only 14 years of age, something happened to me. I cannot tell you one word the preacher said, and not one. But I only know that in that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I did not recognize. I did not even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. And I began to shake. I began to tremble. So much so I had to lay the hymnal down in the pew. And I knew I had to do something. I saw myself as I really was, a sinner in the sight of God, and I did something. I laid that hymnal down, and I did the only thing that I knew what to do. I'd seen them taking church members, and I stepped forward and sat down in the first pew right in the corner and wept. This was my conversion. This was my first contact with the Holy Spirit. I began to weep, and I remember one of the old sisters came to me and brought me a handkerchief. She said, "Oh, Catherine," she said, "don't cry. You and I both know that you've been such a good little girl." We both knew she was lying. But in that moment, something happened to me. That was the new birth experience, and it was so real that I've never doubted it since. Never. I believe that when you're really born again, there's a definite place, there's a definite time, and you know it. And His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will bear witness with your spirit that you've passed from death unto life, and it's been that spiritual experience. It's been my new birth experience. It's been so real, but in that moment, I had my first contact with the Holy Ghost. It was later. I was still in my teens in Joliet, Illinois. I can go to the place if it's still remaining. The second floor of a store building. But I'd gone out to preach the gospel with more zeal than knowledge. And all I could preach, of course, was the new birth experience. It was all that I knew. I'd read at the second floor of a store building in Joliet. I was preaching the best that I knew. Salvation is all that I knew. And one night I had given an altar call. There are those who came forward to be born again, but one lingered. Isabel Drake, I'll never forget. That young lady, a teacher, commuting from Joliet to Chicago. Everyone had gone. We turned out all the lights to save electricity, except just two were burning. She had remained there after the altar praying. I took my place by the side of her mother. There were not more than three or four of us left. When suddenly, this is real, at that moment it happened, in that moment, that one who knew absolutely nothing about the Holy Spirit, that one who knew absolutely nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that one who had never heard anyone speak in an unknown tongue, never, looked up. She raised both hands up, and she began to sing. It was the most beautiful thing I have ever heard. Her voice was as clear as a bell. It was a language that was so beautiful and so wonderful. She reached high C. It was absolutely perfection. Before God, I've never heard such singing since. And the mother's sitting there in the semi-darkness, clasped my hand, and she said, "Catherine, that's not my daughter. My daughter can't even carry a tune. That's not my daughter." We sat there awed, and the glory of the Lord was on that face. It was beautiful. Perhaps for 15 minutes or more, the perfection of that voice and the perfection of the sound of that music. I was learning. I was seeing. The Holy Spirit. I was witnessing something I had never known before. And then after 15 minutes or more, I cannot tell you how long, she bowed her head. I had seen one receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember something. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with every atom of my being. He is with you. But there is an experience. When he comes in and he fills that vessel of yours, literally, and always remember that when the Holy Spirit does it, it is absolute perfection. Know that. If you forget anything, if you forget everything that I say in this service this morning, God is perfect. Absolute perfection. Jesus Christ is absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. When it comes to this mighty third person, the Trinity, he is absolute perfection. I'd give anything in the world if I could just bear my soul to you and get you to see something that is so thrilling. I believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit, but beloved, when he speaks, it will be absolute perfection. It will not be babblings. A lot of things that are called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of things that's called speaking in an unknown tongue, is not the Holy Spirit. It is a discredit to the one who is perfection. The Holy Spirit is not ignorant. When it's the Holy Spirit, it is a perfect language. We're living in a most important hour. We're living in an hour where we speak of the great charismatic movement. But we're living in a very dangerous hour also. Much that is attributed to the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. And it's this thing that's bringing much reproach on something that is very beautiful and very marvelous. And there are thousands who believe that just because they have uttered a few words in an unknown tongue that they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. There are thousands who are professing to have been filled with the Holy Spirit, to have receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit who have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, who've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You do not teach one how to speak in an unknown tongue. John the Baptist said, "What something I indeed baptize you, but there's one mightier than I, Jesus, who'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And everything we receive, I don't care what it is, and always remember this, everything that any one of us receives, it's still Jesus who gives it. Everything, I don't care what it is, everything that we receive must come through Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. He is even the giver of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Know that. I pray the Holy Spirit shall make this real to your heart in the sanctuary. Open hearts and open minds. My friend, it isn't the mechanics. Sometimes I think we turn to the mechanics. We get our minds so filled with the mechanics. We've lost sight of the truth. I saw the other day in Portland, Oregon, a little Catholic sister who knew absolutely nothing about the mechanics, nothing. She was from the monastery of the precious blood. She had never seen anyone filled with the Holy Spirit, never. She was in the habit when the power of God was falling with humanistic bodies, and she came to the stage. And very timidly she said, "I've just been healed." And I said, "Oh, sister, that's wonderful. I'm so glad." And then she turned around to go. She took no more than about 3 steps. And then she turned again to me. And very timidly she whispered, "I'm so hungry for more of the Holy Spirit." In that moment, I did not touch her. I did not pray for her. In that moment, she was slain by the power of God, lying prostrate under the power of God. Before she ever hit the floor, no one had told her the mechanics. No one had taught her how. But Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, was filling her. A holy hush came over that. Remember something, noise is not the sign of power. Always know that. And in that moment, 5,000 hearts did beat as one, and all you could hear those people in that civic auditorium. A holy hush, as the very angels did bend low, and that Catholic sister, who had never been taught how, but it was the most natural thing in the world that she surrendered herself to you. And the Holy Spirit was feeling her. And from those lips came a heavenly language. It was beautiful, so beautiful you felt like taking off the shoes from off your feet. You were standing in the presence of the Most High. You recognized the perfection of the Holy Ghost. I received a divine revelation that I had never received before. And that's the reason my message to you this morning is so important. Because things are happening. Young people, things are happening. And they're happening so quickly. That's the reason I feel it's so important that you might understand that He might use you in these closing moments of this dispensation. I had said for a long time, and I believe it with every atom of my being, I believe or remember something in this hour of great restoration. Everything that happened in the early church is being restored to the church now. Everything. And it's happening so very quickly. It's happening so fast. I believe that this is the very last youth generation before the Great Tribulation. I believe that. I've got to believe it, knowing the word of prophecy as I do. This is the last youth generation before the Great Tribulation. Sitting here in this assembly this Monday morning, face it, face facts, face God, face reality, face truth. You young people sitting here are the last youth generation in this dispensation. I believe it and I stake my very life. When I'm talking to you, what we're saying to you is of vital importance. And you've got to do something about it. You've got to do something about it. I believe this last hour, all the fruits, all the gifts of the Spirit are being restored to the church. There were miracle services with every person present. It doesn't say how many were present in the service, but all were healed by the power of God. As that precious Catholic sister was being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I stood there, only a couple feet from her, I was unaware of those out in the crowd, absolutely unaware. I received a spiritual revelation. Sometimes I wonder whether that was just for me. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The hour is at hand, my friend, when there will be times, even as a moment such as this, when there will be such oneness in the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost will come upon those in the assembly, those who know absolutely nothing about the Holy Spirit. Great waves of glory will come upon them, and every person present will be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I want you to see something that's vitally important. As many as are led of the Spirit. I'll just bear my soul to you. When one is led, it means that one follows. Say to me, Catherine Kuhlman, how do you know? And remember something. I do not believe that God has given me something special. Young people, as God is my judge, I tell you what I really believe. God has not given to me one thing that he'll not give to any one of you young people in this place if you'll pay the price. I'm not special to him. There isn't one thing that he's done for me that he'll not do for you. There isn't a young man, there isn't a young woman in this assembly this morning. But what God will use you in exactly the same way. He'll give to you absolutely everything that he's given to me. You'll pay the price. I would lie if I were to tell you the price is cheap. Everybody's out for a bargain these days, but God has no bargains. Young people, I would lie to you if I were to tell you that it comes cheap. You see me walk out there on stage, and all you see is the glamour of it. And it looks so glamorous. All you see is the glory of it. It's all you see. A reporter said to me the other day, what do you do to prepare for a service like this? I said, sir, I stay prepared. Everybody these days wants something for nothing. Young people, you don't get something for nothing. There's a price, and it depends on what you want most. Just face facts. We're living in a generation where this generation doesn't want to face facts. I'm talking to young people who do not want to face facts. Sometimes I think it's the hardest thing in the world to get young people these days to face facts. But when you're dealing with the spiritual, it's the most important thing in the world. And you've got to face the truth and face facts. When you walk out on that stage, I know what David meant when he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I probably know better than anyone else in this place what he meant and how he felt when he cried out, take not thy Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid. afraid of Satan. I can use the same weapon on Satan that Jesus used. It is written. I can face Satan. I can face all the forces of hell and use the same weapon on him that Jesus did. I fear no man. But one fear. Lest I grieve the Holy Spirit. Lest this anointing shall leave. You don't know. Young people, you don't know. In this ministry, you only see the glamour. In this ministry, yesterday, the thousands in this arena only saw the miracles, and they saw the glory. But very few of them could see the price that was paid before those miracles took place. Not thy Holy Spirit from me. He can take everything that I've got. He can strip me of everything I've got. Leave in me but the clothing to cover my body. Leave in me but the shoes on my feet. And I'm willing to go out there and live on bread and water the rest of my life. So help me God. I'll preach it if I have to preach it from the street corner. But take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If I knew the Holy Spirit had been grieved, I would never, if I knew the Holy Ghost had departed from me, I would never again walk out on a stage. I would never go through the form. I would never make a pretense of the thing. For in that hour, I would be the most ordinary person that ever lived. And nothing would happen. You can say the same word. You can go through the same form. You can do the same thing. But the secret of power is the Holy Ghost. I'll ask one question. What do you want most in life? That has to come first. Face facts, face yourself. Look yourself directly in the face. Maybe you don't desire what I've been talking about. Maybe that isn't your desire at all. Maybe it isn't. There are other things in life that you want more, that you feel are more desirable. Maybe you don't want the best that God has for you. But there are other things that are more important to you. But oh, when once you've experienced, when once you've known what it was like to have the Holy Spirit take your body. You ask me why I am not weary in body after 5 hours. Why I am as refreshed as though I'd had 5 hours of rest. It's because Catherine Kuhlman hasn't done it. When we do it, we fall apart. It's hard work when we do it without the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, he doesn't ask for golden vessels. And he doesn't ask for silver vessels. That's the glory of it. He just asks for yielded vessels. I have no talent. I was born without anything. I have no talent. That's the reason probably it was easy for me to say, take nothing and use it. For some of you, it may be a little harder. A little harder to die on that cross. That cross is there. Without exception, you're faced with a cross. Your cross. What are you going to do about it? When you face that cross, remember, it's what you want most. I can't make that decision for you. I made my own decision. I made it. I made my decision. It looks so hard to you just now. It costs much. But what do you want most?